Grace to you and peace from God who redeems all of creation to God's self. Amen. Years ago, I went to a wedding banquet myself. It was the most spectacular sort of thing I had ever seen. I didn't know that people still gave wedding banquets like that. People were brought in and there were places marked for us to sit. I had a name place. And there we sat. And waiters in white gloves, I kid you not. It was on the East Coast. White gloves served us drinks and hors d'oeuvres. It was wonderful. But not everyone was invited. I didn't know at the time, but it turned out that there was a few guest lists. And I know this happens as a matter of practicality at weddings, but some people were invited to the wedding, but not the reception. Some people were invited to the reception, but not the wedding. Some people were invited to the dinner, but not the reception or the wedding. I, unfortunately, and my family was invited to all of them. It was weird. It was weird in the sense, first of all, in its formality, but also that this wonderful great feast seemed to have really very little to do with the graciousness of hospitality and seemed to have a lot to do with the order of things. This is how it's done. In doing research about banquets for that time when Jesus speaks of, I found that, in fact, there is a lot of order going on. There are certain people that you invite to the banquet. Banquets were held then, much as they are held now, in order to network, in order to sort of elicit another invitation. One banquet feeds another banquet, and if you invite so-and-so to dinner, then of course they're going to be obliged to invite you at a later time. So when Jesus goes to this banquet, he sits with the Pharisees, and one commentator notes that anytime Jesus is going to eat with the Pharisees, there's going to be conflict. It's not because he doesn't like them. It just seems to be the way that Scripture works. As he sits and he watches what people are up to, they're taking their place at the table. And there is an order to things. To sit at the right hand of the host at the head of the table is the place of honor. And he noticed that people are sitting down in the places of honor, and he gives, in a kind of rare way, this very practical, seemingly unambiguous advice look. It's really quite folksy. If you're going to go to a party, don't sit at the highest place first. Great. Sit lower, because it will save us all a lot of embarrassment. Because who knows, someone more important than you, the president of the bank, or maybe the pastor, might show up and be sat at the higher place, and you might be asked to go lower. How gauche. So in a practical kind of way, he suggests that maybe you should sit a little lower. And then you might be invited to come higher. You know, it's all very good. But the story takes a twist when the second part of the wisdom story here addresses not the invitee, but the one who's giving the party. Suddenly, Jesus' good advice takes on a more cosmic and deeper sense, as he reminds the hosts, when you throw a party, do not invite those who can repay you. Don't invite the bankers, the lawyers, the politicians, those people who might at some time in the future be able to do you some needed favor, but rather invite those who cannot repay you. The poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. And you will be blessed. He lays out in this text a vision not of good social, you know, good Christian social banquet protocol. It's not a blueprint for a proper Lutheran potluck. But a vision of the kingdom, where God is the host, everyone is welcome. Everyone is welcome. And this is further illuminated when you realize that this text happens within this series of texts where Jesus takes social norm and turns it on its head, where family falls against family, where we worship and or where we heal on the Sabbath, where all of these conventions that keep order in our lives are upset by the new order of hospitality in Christ and in God that calls us to welcome everyone. Our carefully planned social conventions get thrown out of the window in the messianic banquet. Now, every Sunday, we have a banquet. As Hunter said in the first service, crackers and juice. But it's right here. And I began to wonder, for us, what is our social convention about who is welcome at this messianic banquet? Who do we invite and who, more importantly, do we exclude? Now, being good Christian people in a Christian church, we of course welcome everyone, right? If someone who maybe is a little different than each of us, or maybe who doesn't quite fit into whatever it is that happens in this church, should come to the door, it's unlikely, it's very unlikely that Peter is going to keep them out. That the usher is going to say, "I'm very sorry, you don't fit here." We'll tolerate anybody. But Jesus suggests something deeper. He is calling us to actually invite those people to the banquet. There is an active rather than passive invitation to which Christ calls us. Now that's where it gets a little bit more difficult, right? It's one thing to just sort of, oh, what's the phrase we've used for years in the church, that everyone is welcome, none will be rejected. But by our lack of invitation, we already decide who's coming to the party. Early on, when I was meeting with the Ohana meetings here in this congregation, I asked a question about, you know, who's welcome here and what kind of people everybody is. And they talked about LCH as being a place that's musically, you know, everybody loves music and very socially liberal and all of these kinds of things. And our problem here was not that gay and lesbian people weren't welcome here, or that people of color were not welcome here, or that old people or young people were not welcome here. The problem was they wondered if Republicans were welcome here. Now, we have a few closet Republicans. Now, we laugh, but it's an interesting question, isn't it? We're very comfortable, right? We like us. But the messianic message, the banquet, invites also the Southern Baptist Christian conservative to kneel at that rail right next to your liberal bad self and receive the host of Christ. Not only that you tolerate it, but that you invite them here to experience the grace of Christ. Now that pits father against son, mother against daughter. It turns the world upside down because, you see, it helps us remember, it demands that we remember that God is the host at this banquet and that all are welcome here. That vision of the banquet is a little uncomfortable and certainly humbling. It sort of, as Jesus says in his more eloquent way, takes us down a notch that we might find grace. Many years after that wedding banquet, I went to another banquet. It was in a little town in Mexico, actually. It was a town where we had worked and built a house for some very, very poor people. And all of the families came together and they brought the food. And there were, I guess, 20 of us folks who had come from the United States to come down and help build a Habitat house. And these folks just put on the dog for us. And we sat there next to the stalls where the pigs were, and they laid out these tables in this concrete bunker sort of thing. And they just put the food out, and they all stood there and waited for us to eat. And it kept running through my mind that these folks have nothing. And yet, they poured out everything for us. The chickens that had been running around the yard weren't anymore. The fruit on the trees, diced and ready. And these women and men and children gave of their everything in thankfulness for the very small thing that we had done. The grace of that moment reminds me of the grace of this moment, where undeserved, God pours out God's bounty and showers us with grace and says over and over again, where I am the host, all are welcome. The messianic banquet. Amen.